Chapter 29. And yet despite these oddities, and even they had, for me at least, a humor of their own, there was much in this mode of traveling which I heartily enjoyed at the time, and look back upon with great pleasure. Even the running up, bare-necked, at 5 o'clock in the morning, from the tainted cabin to the dirty deck, scooping up the icy water, plunging one's head into it, and drawing it out, all fresh and glowing with the cold, was a good thing. The fast, brisk walk upon the towing path, between that time and breakfast, when every vein and artery seemed to tingle with health, the exquisite beauty of the opening day, when light came gleaming off from everything, the lazy motion of the boat, when one lay idly on the deck, looking through, rather than at, the deep blue sky, the gliding on at night, so noiselessly, past frowning hills, sullen with dark trees, and sometimes angry in one red, burning spot high up, where unseen men lay crouching round a fire, the shining out of the bright stars undisturbed by noise of wheels or steam, or any other sound than the limpid rippling of the water as the boat went on. All these were pure delights. Then there were new settlements and detached log cabins and frame houses, full of interest for strangers from an old country. Cabins with simple ovens, outside, made of clay, and lodgings for the pigs nearly as good as many of the human quarters. Broken windows, patched with worn-out hats, old clothes, old boards, fragments of blankets and paper, and homemade dressers standing in the open air without the door, whereon was ranged the household store, not hard to count, of earthen jars and pots. The eye was pained to see the stumps of great trees thickly strewn in every field of wheat, and seldom to lose the eternal swamp and dull morass, with hundreds of rotten trunks and twisted branches steeped in its unwholesome water. It was quite sad and oppressive to come upon great tracts, where settlers had been burning down the trees, and where their wounded bodies lay about, like those of murdered creatures, while here and there some charred and blackened giant reared aloft two withered arms, and seemed to call down curses on his foes. Sometimes, at night, the way wound through some lonely gorge, like a mountain pass in Scotland, shining and coldly glittering in the light of the moon, and so closed in by high steep hills all round, that there seemed to be no egress save through the narrower path by which we had come, until one rugged hillside seemed to open, and shutting out the moonlight as we passed into its gloomy throat, wrapped our new course in shade and darkness. We had left Harrisburg on Friday. On Sunday morning we arrived at the foot of the mountain, which is crossed by railroad. There are 10 inclined planes, 5 ascending, and 5 descending. The carriages are dragged up the former, and let slowly down the latter, by means of stationary engines, the comparatively level spaces between, being traversed, sometimes by horse, and sometimes by engine power, as the case demands. Occasionally the rails are laid upon the extreme verge of a giddy precipice, and looking from the carriage window, the traveler gazes sheer down, without a stone or scrap of fence between, into the mountain depths below. The journey is very carefully made, however, only 2 carriages traveling together, and while proper precautions are taken, is not to be dreaded for its dangers. It was very pretty traveling thus, at a rapid pace along the heights of the mountain in a keen wind, to look down into a valley full of light and softness, catching glimpses, through the treetops, of scattered cabins, children running to the doors, dogs bursting out to bark, whom we could see without hearing, terrified pigs scampering homewards, families sitting out in their rude gardens, cows gazing upward with a stupid indifference, men in their shirt sleeves looking on at their unfinished houses, planning out tomorrow's work, and we riding onward, high above them, like a whirlwind. It was amusing to, when we had dined, and rattled down a steep pass, having no other moving power than the weight of the carriages themselves, to see the engine released, long after us, come buzzing down alone, like a great insect, its back of green and gold so shining in the sun, that if it had spread a pair of wings and soared away, no one would have had occasion, as I fancied, for the least surprise. But it stopped short of us in a very businesslike manner when we reached the canal, and, before we left the wharf, went panting up this hill again, with the passengers who had waited our arrival for the means of traversing the road by which we had come. On the Monday evening, furnace fires and clanking hammers on the banks of the canal warned us that we approached the termination of this part of our journey. After going through another dreamy place, a long aqueduct across the Allegheny River, which was stranger than the bridge at Harrisburg, being a vast, low, wooden chamber full of water, we emerged upon that ugly confusion of backs of buildings and crazy galleries and stairs, which always abuts on water, whether it be river, sea, canal, or ditch. And we're at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is like Birmingham in England. At least its townspeople say so. Setting aside the streets, the shops, the houses, wagons, factories, public buildings, and population, perhaps it may be. It certainly has a great quantity of smoke hanging about it, and is famous for its iron works. Besides the prison to which I have already referred, this town contains a pretty arsenal and other institutions. It is very beautifully situated on the Allegheny River, over which there are two bridges, and the villas of the wealthier citizens sprinkled about the high grounds in the neighborhood are pretty enough. We lodged at a most excellent hotel, and were admirably served. As usual, it was full of boarders, was very large, and had a broad colonnade to every story of the house. We tarried here 3 days. Our next point was Cincinnati. And as this was a steamboat journey, and western steamboats usually blow up 1 or 2 a week in the season, it was advisable to collect opinions in reference to the comparative safety of the vessels bound that way, then lying in the river. One called the Messenger was the best recommended. She had been advertised to start positively, every day for a fortnight or so, and had not gone yet, nor did her captain seem to have any very fixed intention on the subject. But this is the custom. For if the law were to bind down a free and independent citizen to keep his word with the public, what would become of the liberty of the subject? Besides, it is in the way of trade. And if passengers be decoyed in the way of trade, and people be inconvenienced in the way of trade, what man, who is a sharp tradesman himself, shall say, we must put a stop to this? ? Impressed by the deep solemnity of the public announcement, I, being then ignorant of these usages, was for hurrying on board in a breathless state, immediately. But receiving private and confidential information that the boat would certainly not start until Friday, April the 1st, we made ourselves very comfortable in the meanwhile, and went on board at noon that day. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.